What's the middle chapter of all of the chapters in the Bible? Do you know that? That's just a trivia question. It's Psalms 118. There are so many, the exact same number of chapters before Psalms 118 as there are after Psalms 118. It's the division chapter. And one of the verses in Psalms 118 is the middle verse in all of the Bible. Those Psalms are really important. Do you know the Psalm that David wrote after he'd committed sin with Bathsheba? You know which Psalm that is? You know the number of that psalm? That's Psalms 53. Psalms 51. You need to remember where that psalm is, because there'll be times in your life in which you've messed up. And if you want to know the words of your heart that you ought to pray whenever you've messed it up, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thee. And you just use the words of Psalms. They're so important. What's the crucifixion psalm? Do you know that one? Psalms 20, 22. What's the Lord is my shepherd psalm? That's Psalms 23. That is the one that we know. Here's two questions, and this is one of them is from the prophet card, and that is that the meaning of the word hallelujah. It's found all the way through the book of Psalms. What does it mean when you say hallelujah? Isn't that amazing? You see the word Jah at the end, hallelujah, is what it is, hallelujah. And that's the Lord. Do you know what it means? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And in the book of Psalms, you'll run across the word Selah, S-E-L-A-H. And it's a musical notation, and evidently it means it was not even sung. When they were reading the Psalms publicly, they would just stop. They would skip over the word Selah sometimes, and they would just pause. Why do you pause? Because what you've said is so important. If you ever do that again, I'm going to, and you need to pause. Why? What you say is really, really, really important. I've just got one thing I want to say to you. Pause. Selah. Because that's really important. Or you can pause right after you said it. And so that is in there, and it's a word that is sometimes not even read when we read the psalm. I want us to just go through the Psalms and look at some of the words that will really help us. This is from the prophet card. God is angry with the wicked. Can you finish that verse? I have some Psalms, chapter 7, verse 11. The Lord is angry with the wicked every day. Anybody ever done you wrong? Yeah, you've forgotten about it, though, haven't you? I mean, you haven't forgotten about it. Something happened. I remember that now. Here's the great thing about it. You don't have to be angry. You know how angry you were the day that it happened? That's how angry God is right now. The Lord is angry with the wicked every day. And on that same thing is the Lord will turn into hell every nation that does what? That's one of the Psalms. I mean, it's part of one of the Psalms, and that's one of the things highlighted on this card. And it would really do you a lot of good to be able to, you know, that God will turn into hell every nation that forgets Him. Where's America headed? Look at the history of all the nations there's been on this earth, and the Lord will turn into hell every nation that forgets Him. Look on the back of the prophet card, about the fifth line down, that is, how often did David pray? That's answer somewhere between 2 and 4. Would that help you get? Does that give you enough clue? And that is obviously it's 3. I remember one of the characters that taught at Fried Hardeman was Brother Hall. And he had a weird sense of humor, and he just gave a test. And he said, now, Tommy said, how many did you got right? Get right on this test. It was a 10 question. He said, I got between 4 and 6. And Brother Hall said, why didn't you just tell us you got five? You know, you understand? And so, you know, those are the kinds of things that really, really help us. But isn't it great to know these Psalms and to have an understanding of about David prayed three times. How often do you pray? Isn't that amazing? You pray less than three times a day. You might all should you check in right there? The man that was after God's own heart prayed three times every day. Who's that young boy in the Bible that prayed three times a day? You guys know? It's Daniel. It was Daniel prayed three times a day in the Bible. How often do you pray? Those are some of the great lessons that need to be prayed. Here's a great verse, and it's on the back of the prophet card. When I am afraid, the King James says, what time I am afraid, I will what? I will trust in you. I learned that in a very vivid way when Brother Franklin Camp had such a older preacher had such an impact on me when I was a younger preacher, and he had open heart surgery and it was serious. And he said they took me out of the room, and I when I kissed my family goodbye, I thought I may never see them again. And as I was pushing me down the hallway, he said, the verse that kept coming to mind, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Put me in the elevator to carry me up to the operating room. What do you think about, Franklin? What time I'm afraid. Waking up in the recovery room, what are you thinking about, Franklin? What time I am afraid. And he said, I had no fear of dying. It's a great verse, isn't it? Write that on your heart. And when adversity comes in your life, whenever I'm afraid, when things are going wrong, I will. That's what David was like. And those are not just memory verses. Those are verses we need to write on our hearts that we might not sin against thee. Look down about halfway down the card on the back. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us do what? Isn't that amazing? We quote that one a lot. This is the day. How many days the Lord made? Every one of them. I love the way that David Sproul oftentimes says, but you know, this is the special day, and this is the day the Lord's made. But you wake up in the morning, you want to have a good day? Let it wake up with these words on your heart. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You see why it's important to study the Psalms? You see why it's important to get in here? And the reality is, we don't have time. We could spend one night on every one of the Psalms. And 3 years from now, we would say, now for the past 3 years, we've been looking at one Psalm each night. And it's been, you cannot do that. But they are these verses. Where does a prophet card, priest card, king card come from? As David and I have written this material, we write out all of the questions. What is important? Here's a list of everything in the book of Psalms. And then we take time to divide it. What's the most important things to learn and the easiest thing to learn? And that's what's on the prophet card. And that's the design of it. But the priest card are other things that are just as equal as important. But, you know, babes in Christ can learn that a little bit later. And then we have the king card for those who've studied the Bible all of their life. As we begin working on this method of teaching, we understood there'd be folks in the church who had been in the church 50 years. They don't need to just stay in the shallow water. And so that's why the king card is here. And those cards on there are more detailed and more difficult to learn. I'm still on the prophet card. Look on the very back, up, you know, about the fifth one up from the bottom. I was glad when they said to me, let us go where? Let us go to the house of the Lord. Wouldn't it be great if everybody whose name was on church rolls all around the world had that in their heart? I was really glad. This is the best day of the week. Think about what's happened if you were here this morning and how good it was and what a blessing it was. Just tell you one impression about morning services. A year ago, when COVID was running rampant, I go back to shake everybody out of the building as they leave, and you know what folks used to do? They'd all rush out. We wanted to stay 6 feet away from each other. And a year ago, I thought, we're losing it. One of the trademarks of Palm Beach Lakes is the holy hugs and the love that we have. And I thought, it's no longer here. Will it ever come back? This morning, I stood at the back, and all of a sudden, there was a lull in everybody leaving. I mean, there are folks who, because of work and other reasons, leave immediately. I understand it. And some, because they want to protect their own health, leave immediately. And all of a sudden, nobody's coming out. Where are they? Are they having a meeting down in the family room I didn't know anything about? I looked in the auditorium, and brethren, there were 75 people in here loving each other. It's back. And how blessed we are to have it. Young people, it was just great to see you staying up here loving each other. It was really, really great. And those of you who are loving each other over in this section and all the section of the building, I was glad when they said to me, let's go up to the house of the Lord. And we need to manifest that in our hearts. It needs to be the very thing. What about the one that's the third one from the bottom? I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And young people, as you study anatomy in school and things of that nature, you will be impressed again and again how amazing the human body is. You want to look at the priest card? I don't have that many that are marked here. The blessed psalm is which one? Psalm 1. It sets the preamble, and about two-thirds of the way down, the blessed man of Psalms 1 does not, and the blessed man of Psalms 1 does. What's the opposite of being blessed? Being cursed. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. What's the flip side of that? Cursed is the man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't you dare seek an advice from a child of the devil about what you ought to do about life situation. Blessed is the man that walks in the counsel of the godly. And so he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. That's you. That's what reading the Psalms will do for you. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. But the godly will stand in the judgment. See the contrast? Does not stand. Sit in the seat of the scornful. Stand in the way of sinners. Doesn't walk where the sinners walk. And he stands in the places where they walk. The child of God stands in the judgment. Unashamed. Because I've let God change my heart in every way that I can. About the third one from the bottom on that side is the fate of a nation that forgets God. God turns them into hell. And the one right under that, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiworks. You know the next verse? Every day, it happens every day. Sun rises, sunsets. Day under day utter a speech. What happens? The heavens say, are you listening? Let me show you the glory of God. The firmament showing his handiworks. Day unto day, it shouts it out. There is a God, and look how good he is to us in providing all of these things. And there's no speech or language on this earth where the voice that declare, the voice that speaks, there is the glory of God. There's no speech or voice, a place on this earth where their voice, the voice of the heavens, are not heard. That's amazing, isn't it? Then it talks about the sun rising and all of those things that manifest, really manifest the Lord of God, the glory of God. How's this one? We know this one from the New Testament quote, be angry and do not sin. Somebody's memorized that one. Aren't you good? Aren't you glad you did, though? How do you control your anger? Because when it riles up inside of you, I can't sin. I'm angry, but I got to be careful. I've got to be careful. Be careful that I do not sin. I'm on the back of the priest card, and about the fifth one down. The sacrifices of God are a broken and, New King James says, or the Bible says, and a contrite heart. You see that one? About the fifth one down, the sacrifices. What psalm's that in? That's in Psalms 51. It's in David's psalm of repentance. David said, what am I going to do about my sin with Bathsheba? I could offer all these sacrifices, and yet that does not please the Lord. What pleases the Lord is for me to come humbly before Him. You know, blessed are the meek, they'll inherit the earth. They're the ones God looked. To this man will I look, even to who is of a humble and contrite heart. And David says, and when I'd have that humble and contrite heart, then the Lord will be pleased with the sacrifices. Where does God put our tears? You see that one on the backside there? In a bottle, in a box. You want to feel the emotion of that? Something's happening, you're crying because somebody's mistreated you or some parents, you know how bad parents are and everything, and you're crying about all of that thing, or maybe they're crying because of you, and God collects every, figuratively, grabs every one of those tears and puts it in a bottle in heaven. You know how precious those tears are? Those of you who have small children or small grandchildren, you know how precious that tear is that's running down the cheek of that little child of yours. That's how precious every tear that you shed is of God. You put that in your heart. That's what Psalms is all about. You go through the book of Psalms and you highlight in these 150 chapters the verses that help you and that will change your view of God and your attitude toward God. And then, when you want to spend time meditating on the law of the Lord, just open up the book of Psalms and flip through there. Look what I've got underlined here. Wonder why I underlined that. Why is that notation that's there? Because I want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable to God. It's not our purpose to look at every one of the Psalms. It's our purpose tonight to look at these things that are here and to try to change our hearts. Look down more than halfway down on the back of that card. You see the word six about as the first word in that sentence? Six things that idols have, but they cannot use. Idols. They have eyes, but they do not see. You ever look at our idol? You know those two eyes on the front of a $1 bill? How much do they see? Not help you at all. Mouths they have. They do not speak. Ears they have, they do not hear. Hands they have, they do not help. You put that in a world where everybody on this earth was worshiping a tree or a rock. Idols, that's what you make them out of, gold. And the words of Paul will jump out at you. You turn from dumb, that means speechless. You turn from dumb idols to serve a living God. He has eyes. He has ears. He has hands. He has feet. He has arms. That's why That's not just an intellectual kind of thing. When you pray tonight, God's listening. And whenever in your prayer you say, "Can you hear me now?" Remember that commercial? "Can you hear me now?" God always hears. And He hears the meditations of our hearts and hears the words that silently may come in our mind or perhaps silently come through our lips. That's what Psalms will teach you. And so the whole purpose in looking at these Psalms is to try to help us understand. Here's 150 chapters in the Bible that will change who you are. It will change your worldview. Look on the King card. I've only got two or three. Well, I've got about six things that are marked there. Look on the backside of the King card. 60% down from the top of that. Christ is a priest forever after. You see that one? After the order of Melchizedek. Priest. Priest is the one who's between us and God as we come up into the very presence of God. And in the Old Testament, there were ungodly, evil priests, and they would die, and the next priest would be worse. The next priest would be even more ungodly. Jesus is our high priest, and the Hebrew argues it is an unchanging priesthood, and it's the book of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it is He who is there in the first century making intercessions for the saints. And He's done that every day for you because He's a priest. Not after the order of the Levitical priesthood. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that's on the King card for a reason, because many will not know who Melchizedek is. Look at this. About five or six down below that is the number of times Psalms is referred to in the New Testament. That amazing? More than 100 times. I want you to think about quotations of Psalms in the New Testament. On the day of Pentecost, Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thy Holy One to see corruption, was the very verse that Peter went to from the writings of David to prove the resurrection of Jesus. David's soul was left in the Hadean world. It's still there. David's flesh has long rotted and decayed. Thou wilt not let my flesh see corruption, not leave my soul in hell. And Peter says, David's tomb is right over there. And he uses that one phrase from the Old Testament, and it is the central argumentation of the first sermon that's ever been preached. Now, if that very verse about the resurrection of Jesus was the central message in the first sermon that was ever preached, how central does that need to be in our lives? He's raised. And because He is raised, there is that hope of the resurrection for us. On the front side, Psalm 136, the family psalm. Great, great psalm, because it talks about how blessed is the man that has children. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of children, as arrows in the hands of a mighty hunter. Psalm 127, that's where I'm quoting. as arrows are in the hands of a mighty hunter, so are children of the youth. And how blessed we are that you and I have the very words, because no jot or tittle has passed from it. And so when David wrote these 100, wrote the Psalms, at least he did not write all of them, but the majority of the Psalms, when David wrote the Psalms, every word that he said were words that he had in mind when he said to the God of heaven, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." What's the book of Psalms all about? Poetry. Songs. The songs that we sing speak so much of us. Think about your favorite hymn. Think about what the song means the most to you. And your answer to that, what is your favorite song that we sing, will be a revelation to spirituality. Why? Because it expresses our heart. And the songs that we might have sung years ago, how many of you sang this song? "I washed my hands this morning so very clean and white." Anybody anciently old enough to remember Betty Sanders? All right, Betty remembers it. Doesn't mean a thing to him. We sang it in public school. "I washed my hands this morning so very clean and white and lent them up to Jesus to work for him till night." Little feet, be careful. Anything for Jesus. Or, "Little feet, be careful where you take me to. Anything for Jesus, only let me do." It's a great song. Meaningless. But there was a time when I was a child that song molded my heart. And the very same thing can happen with you. If you'll take the words of the Psalms. Here's one of mine, and I'll stop after this. "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay." And that was a favorite song of mine when I was a teenager, and it's one of my favorite songs right now. "Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after your will." Psalm, poem, written and brought to music so that we can sing it together. But that's exactly what Psalms is. David writes down the words and says, "Let these words be acceptable in thy sight." And if I want my heart to change, I need to read the book of Psalms and write the words of the man after God's own heart on my heart. And when the words and the meditation of my heart are like the words and the meditations of David's heart, then I too can be a man after God's own heart. You are dismissed.